to the lost souls, the disintegrated spirits, the wanderers, the dreamers, and the seekers. Welcome to the Embodied Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Danielle McGinnis. Our work in this podcast will be to foster healing, transformation, self-expression, creativity, and the development of consciousness. So with our intentions grounded firmly, let's settle in and do some integration work. Hi friends, welcome back to the Embodied Podcast. I want to take time and space to say thank you for those of you who have taken time to rate and review the podcast. So if you want to drop a 5-star rating or a written review to let me know how the show has impacted your life, I would really appreciate it. And that's how we can continue to grow the show organically. So today I wanted to talk about where to start if you are interested in doing inner work and it seems very intriguing to you, but as soon as you think about going down that road, something within you is blocked and you feel some type of resistance. And my suggestion for anybody that's looking to start some inner work is to start exactly where you're at. And I know that sounds kind of obvious, but you don't have to have any type of prerequisite understanding to at least develop a relationship with yourself. So start where you're at and really just start to question everything and start to ask yourself, what could I learn about this situation that I think that is certain or that I already know? Another good place to start with the inner work, which is one of my favorite ways to start with inner work, is to start with your emotional states. Where do you feel the most reactive, or where do you feel the most overwhelmed? Or do you not feel those things at all? Because that's actually a starting place too. So when you feel overwhelmed, or maybe you don't, where do you avoid your feelings, in what situations, and starting to notice where that happens the most. Another place is when you feel this tendency within yourself, like I said, reactivity, when you feel very passive aggressive, when you feel like you're trying to control situations or situations are kind of slipping out of your hands, notice that. And really start from a place of not doing anything about it, but really just noticing. And then another place to start is to notice where you kind of just get along and you're agreeable with everybody else and very compliant just to keep the comfort. So where are you suppressing your own assertiveness or your own needs for the comfort of those around you? And that kind of leads me into relationships being a really good mirror to where you can start to look at ways that you can improve yourself. So oftentimes it's easy for us in relationship to project all of our shortcomings and all of our shit onto our partner. And so noticing where we are not taking full responsibility for our emotional experience. So if someone's upsetting you, instead of going straight to blame or victimization, where can you sit with that? How can you sit with that emotion a little bit more intimately and ask yourself what's happening, what's coming up for you? What's the narrative that's underneath these feelings? Instead of really escaping that and immediately projecting that the situation onto our partner. And I don't want to dismiss situations of emotional abuse, because I know that situations like gaslighting can be very confusing. But in those situations too, we have to see where we are staying in that same situation when we know deep down something is not right. Where are we abdicating trust and belief in ourselves onto our partner? Like, what happens if we leave that relationship? And what this brings up for me is to notice these patterns or these wounds of abandonment. So where in our lives do we feel innately unworthy of having a connective relationship with self or other? And if someone else in our early years was not able to really mirror and attune to our basic needs, we typically carry this inherent belief that we are unworthy of having our needs met. And so what happens is we start to identify as that person who is unworthy of having their needs met. And so what this does is we start to sabotage ourselves or do self-denigrating behaviors to ourselves, because really, truly, deep down, we think that that's what we're worth. Or the opposite occurs, where you feel deeply unworthy and we try to compensate those feelings of lack of worth with compensation in ways that, in grandiose ways, with material things or bragging about your situation. Another way that abandonment wounds can show up is in the use of power over people, or really, like I mentioned before, blaming other people, and everything is another person's fault, where we don't have to take responsibility for looking at our stuff ever. And what that does is that pushes power on to us, and it gives us power because we're using other people, we're feeding on other people to prop up our own identity, because deep inside we don't feel worthy enough of having our own personal power, to have power with, not power over. And then oftentimes abandonment wounds can show up when we have this inordinate need for self-assurance, where we're excessively needy. And let me be clear that having needs is a human thing. We all have needs. And it's really important for us to realize that we ourselves are primarily responsible as an adult to make sure that our needs are met. And if we are reliant on our partner or our parents to meet our needs as an adult, we are looking outside of ourselves to get our needs met. And we can become addicted to that. And so starting to notice these adaptive patterns that we use to try to cope with life that is extremely hard and sometimes overwhelming, especially in times like we're experiencing right now. So I think it's the attitude that we take towards the work that we're doing on ourselves that is of the utmost importance. We have to start looking at ourselves as someone who is worth exploring, worth understanding, a type of person who doesn't have to be right all the time to be worthy and valid. And I think that if we start to take those curious positions towards this inner work, these avenues start to open up to us, because now our resistance starts to drop and we come to this place where we start receiving these messages. And I think personally, at this point in the journey where you start to change your attitude towards the type of work, it's really nice to have a mirror to you, to somebody, whether that be a coach, a therapist, to mirror these things to you and have adult, healthy conversations to help you work through these things. But we have to know that it's not our parents' job, it's not our partner's job, it's not anybody else's job to do that for us. And if we are seeking for somebody else to free us from a prison that we've put ourselves in, you're always going to remain a prisoner. So as we move in to this new year, this fresh year, what are some ways that you are going to start dedicating time and space, mentally and emotionally, towards yourself? And just know that you are absolutely worth that time and that space. I hope you guys have an amazing day, an amazing weekend. Bye, guys.